in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, somebody put your hands together and give Jesus a clap. Give Jesus a clap. He's worthy. He's worthy. The first verse comes from Psalms 22, verse 27. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations will bow down before the Lord. And the second verse is Paul's verse from Galatians 3:28. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968 1963, quoted this scripture in his famous speech, I Have a Dream, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And what I would like to discuss with you today is this thing called identity. The Greek word within your New Testament, but everybody knows, yes, that the Greek, that the New Testament was written in the Greek, yes? Yeah. This word identity in the Greek is a word called toutotis, T-O-U-T-O-T-T-Y-S. And the real definition of toutotis or identity is this. It means an individual's real existence. It means, who are you? The reality at its deepest level. Let me say that again. Identity means reality at its deepest level. Some of the words associated with the word identity are individualism, distinctiveness, separateness, singularity, and uniqueness. Why is knowing your identity important? It has to do with your sense of worth and self-value. It affects how you think, your behavior, and how you relate with others. The world we live in today, as we know, is filled with materialism. It's filled with people obsessed with power, with control, with privilege, with fame. It's no wonder that the young people of today are so captivated by this image, because there is an image circulating around the world. You have to look a certain way. You have to have the right size. You have to drive the right car. You have to have the right house. To the world and to the youth of today, it's a phenomenon that they will enter into crime to try and accomplish. For they do not know who they are. They have no identity, so therefore, they're swayed by every deception. They're swayed by every falsehood. They're swayed by every living trend. There is a hole in their heart that they're trying to fill, and only the Creator Himself can fill. Glory to God. They join gangs to find identities. Remember, identity is the reality at its deepest level. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And let me say this emphatically. This is an absolute. This is non-negotiable. The cosmic universal embrace of Jesus Christ encompasses all heavenly and earthly reality. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, there is no reality. You know, in Greece, or wherever there are people from Greece, every Resurrection Sunday, they will greet one another. It doesn't matter where in the world that they are. They will greet one another and they will say, Christos Anesti. The Christ has risen. And then they will say, my beloved, Alithos είναι ο Κύριος. Alithos is reality. Christ is reality. Thank you, Lord. All the nations of the earth will remember their true identity. At the moment of humanity's greatest need, when man fell, what was the first words that God said to the sinner? He said, Adam, where art thou? God was not looking for Adam geographically. He wasn't asking Adam, are you on the north side of the garden or are you on the south side of the garden? God is omnipowered, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. He sees all things, he's everywhere, and has all power. So the God who sees all things and knows all things was not seeking Adam's location in the garden. From the very beginning, God was concerned about Adam's heart. The dislodging, the separation, the division between Adam and therefore man, therefore humanity from God. And when God cried out to Adam and said, Adam, where art thou? That was the voice of grace calling man back to God. It's the Father waiting for the prodigal's return. It's the shepherd seeking his sheep. The voice of grace reconciling all nations unto God. At the beginning of the Gospels, or recorded in the Gospels, we have the first disciple named Andrew. Is that right? Andrew in the Greek word is Andreas, from the root word andras, anthropos, anthropology, meaning man, meaning humanity, meaning the Adamic race. Jesus came to reconcile all nations unto God. And let me say this to you. We said that one of the key words for identity is uniqueness. And many times others from other nations, or from even from our own nation, will try to make us feel inferior. But let me say this. You were created as an original. Comparable, thank you, Paul. Comparable to no one else. You can never fulfill God's purpose as an imitation of somebody else. You can only fulfill God's purpose in your own unique way. Do not be conformed by the limitations of others. You were created as an original, as a masterpiece. Do not live as an imitation of somebody else. God, in his infinite creativity, in his infinite power, chose to design us differently. If you look around this room, we're all from different nations. We all look different for a reason. People who find their identity in color, in their nation, can sometimes be swayed by their own motives. If we look through the eyes of history, we can see that there are many nations who oppressed another nation or another color because they thought themselves superior. When Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, he didn't mean that I stop being Greek and you stop being Jamaican or wherever it is that you come from. Our identity, where we're born is significant and it's relevant to God's call upon our lives. It has relevance, it has significance, but it is not the primary position. It is not the supreme position. The supreme position is our identity in Christ Jesus. Everything else is secondary. As I said, I'm Greek, but my husband comes from South Africa. And Reverend Gavin, first of all, I want to thank God. He, without a doubt, I can lift up my hands up to the Lord and say, he is a gift to me.
Amen.
From God.
Amen.
And I thank him for giving me such a husband. Gavin has enriched my life by telling me many, many stories about his growing up as a boy and then living as a man in South Africa in the era or at the time of apartheid. J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, wrote, and I quote, "It is accountable unto a man not only the acts that he performs, but also the acts that he inspires others to do." You were born to be an inspiration. You were born to have an effect and a sphere of influence to other people. You were not born to live isolated without purpose and without a plan. Such a man was Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, labeled a terrorist and imprisoned for 27 years for no other reason than wanting equality for his people. 27 years later, and upon him becoming president of South Africa, South Africa took a breath. It held its breath, as the world held its breath for retribution. But blessed be God who chooses the right man for the right time as a ruler. For the hand of God was upon Nelson Mandela. And the first thing that Nelson Mandela did, as Reverend Gavin taught me, is that he put together what is called a reconciliation council. And the head of this council was Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Many different groups came together at that council to ask for forgiveness for what they did during the time of apartheid. And as Nelson chose Arch Desmond Tutu, he placed headship and control upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his reconciliation for all people, for all nations, for all creeds, for all colors. Reverend Gavin stands as a testimony and as an emblem, as a monument to God's infinite grace, to God's magnificent glory, to reconcile and to restore. There is nothing that is difficult for God to do if we allow him into the situation. the Moravian Church years ago sold themselves as slaves so that they could witness to the slaves from all nations. Think about that for a moment and ask yourself, do we come anywhere near such a sacrifice? They sold themselves as slaves so that they could witness to the slaves. The greatest gift you can bestow on anyone is to introduce them to their identity in Christ. Because then not only are they stable in this world, but they're stable in the next world. For we know his identity. We know who Christ is. Who he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He is the one that was and is to come. He is God incarnate. He's the Lord Emmanuel. He is love incarnate. He is grace personified. He's the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the sanctified sovereign savior. He is the word that became incarnate. He's the great high priest. He's the great healer who has never lost a patient. He's the great advocate that has never lost a case. There is none like him. He's the great sea walker. He is a Barabbas release and a Lazarus resurrection. There is none beside him. Think about putting that identity into someone who's been swayed by all the falsehood, by all the deception, by all the lies. Let me say this. Every man has value. For every man was created in the image of God. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't even matter sometimes what they've done. For where sin was at its worst, God did not turn his back on us. He called us with an everlasting voice, "Where are you? What's the condition of your heart? What's your situation today?" You are a living monument of who God is. You are the kingdom of God. Every single one of you, wherever you put your feet on the ground as you walk in your daily routinely activities, you are the church.
Hallelujah.
The church is a living, breathing organism. The church is not made of bricks and mortar. In the Bible, there are 400 references to altars. And after 400 years of silence, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, is what you call the intertestamental period, between the two testaments. After 400 years, God no longer wanted altars made of stone, of bricks. So he came and built a living altar in the heart of man, where he dwells in all his holiness and splendor. You are no ordinary individual. When you walk by an individual, they should stand as you leave the aroma, the fragrance, the glory, the majesty, the supremacy, the power, the authority, the dominion of who God is. There has never been an individual like you. From all nations, from all creeds, from all colors, from all the ends of the earth. For you are indwelled by the indwelling presence of God. I want to encourage you today, fully knowing your identity in God, to think about those who do not have this identity, who do not possess this reality, who are swayed, oppressed, depressed, and afflicted continuously daily. And think of what you can do to introduce them to their identity in Christ. For I said before, we know who he is. We know his identity. He's the glorious one, the magnificent one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the prophet's Messiah, but he's Jesus to me. Herod could not defeat him. Herod could not kill him. Satan cannot defeat him. The grave could not hold him. The world cannot contain him. He is the unchanging, the undisputed, the indestructible, the unsurpassed, Jesus the Christ, and he's here right now. Can we stand to our feet, please?
Glory to God.
Your identity in Christ gives you many, many privileges. The beauty, but there is also a duty to being in Christ. Most people are waiting for an answer to their problems, to their situations, to their conditions. You don't have the answers, neither do I. But you can introduce them to someone who knows it all and has all the power, whose hand is never too short to reach them. I want you in your heart right now to meditate, take a moment, please. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Remember, the Moravians sold themselves as slaves to minister to the slaves of many nations. Satan has so many of our people enslaved, in chains. Think of one person, from another nation. It could be your grocery, where you buy your groceries, your grocer. It could be the friend of a friend. It could be your child's teacher. Whoever that one person is from another nation, I want you to take something off that belongs to you. Whether it's your shoes, whether it's a ring, whether it's a scarf, if you don't have anything to take off, bring yourself to the front and place them with a pledge unto God that you will make every effort from this day forth to introduce them to their identity in Christ. As I sing this refrain, please come. Lord, lift them up. Can they praise and worship? Come, please. Lord, lift them up.
Spoken to before. Father God, render our heart, oh Father God, this moment. Father, her hands will become hands of blessing. That whatever she asks for, Father God, you will deliver out of her hands in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, that her health and that, Lord, that her family and the bloodline, oh Father God, will continue and will strengthen, Father God, her right now. And then where there's pain, oh Father God, where there's suffering, where there's internalizing of her suffering, oh Father God, I pray right now, oh God, that you put it into your hands and we leave it at your altar in Jesus' name. Father God, you said, leave it all unto me. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray right now for every soul who's standing here right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, they're waiting for you. They're waiting upon you. But Lord, I know what I know, that you've already have done. You said it's done when you took it to the cross for us. You died in the place of whatever we're standing for here today. Father God, you made it up long time ago. I thank you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that Lord, that there's tears running on this altar today. Father God, they're asking and wondering if it ever going to change. But this day, Father, it will change. Change is about to come this day. You will meet for that change today. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for life changing today. I thank you, Lord, for situations that will change this day. Because they're standing in the gap. I don't know who they're standing for, why they're standing. But when I know, God, that you also know their hearts, they know every prayer, every moment. Oh God, I thank you, Father God, for people such as this. Your servants stand here today. Father, I know that some of them have troubled families. Maybe they are too shy. Maybe are they too heartbroken to come. But I know this day, oh God, that our families have gone through suffering. You, oh God, our forgiving Father. Lord, you know there are mothers who are standing here that maybe their sons or their daughters haven't gone the way that they expected to. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask a question before. I just want to pray because I felt the Lord has laid it upon my heart. Who in this room have had family lost a gun and knife? Who in this house today have lost families or know of a friend, a family member who's died by gun or knife recently or in the past? Please stand. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to call you out. I just want you to stand so that you can stand in the gap for a family member. Our city is being ravaged by death of young people. The enemy is running rampant. He doesn't care no more. There are more young children missing as we stand here today. We know of a family who's lost three sons in the same family to knife at different times of their lives. You must have read about it in Barnet. Had a 16-year-old on Friday just said to the mother, I'm leaving. She said, where are you going? He says, I have to go with a friend. 6 hours later, the police found. They found her with 12 kilograms of heroin. Not only has she been found with heroin, she's been raped by 12 men, maybe more, because she wouldn't pay. She didn't have the money to pay them for the night before she was taken. I'm speaking to you today. I know there are some of us are standing here and we have been praying, asking God for that one moment just to change our situation. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's something that will keep us together. Maybe our sons, our daughters, our husbands are not doing where, are not at the place where they're supposed to be. This is a day for you to stand in the gap for them. If you know if your marriage is not safe, stand and take that prayer for God to be able to change the direction that you could have. I know this is an international day and this is your day of celebration, but I just want to thank God for you today. I just want everybody to stand at the back and raise your hand forward to those who are standing in front of you. Just stretch your hand forward. Before you do that, just tell your neighbor, it's going to be okay today. Just tell him God has turned up. This day, just tell him God has turned up. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for those hands that stretch. Father God, to all of those who are standing in front of the altar, Father, I thank you that today that you will have live testimony of what you have done in their lives. That broken homes will be mended. Broken families will be mended. You will restore marriages. You will restore relationships. You will restore old relationships. You will turn back the daughters to the mothers and fathers to their sons. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, it's not only international, but Father God, it is national. And Father God, it's almost individual. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Reverend Anastasia. Thank you, Reverend Gavin. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. So we're coming to the end of this section. Remember, we're here all day. We have Bobby to come with some Hindi songs. We have Bright who's bringing a solo. I also want you to this is a great time for you to bring some testimonies as well. So I'm going to give, throughout the next section, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give a very, very short testimony, what God has done for you. I know I was speaking to my sister Beverly, who has been in hospital, I think almost 2 weeks, and she was sharing with me some of the things that was happening there. Perhaps she might have a minute or so just to share at the end what the Lord has done for her. Bridget is an Indian drummer who's coming. We have Gabriel, who's playing the steel pan. We have Mona McInnes, poetry. And then we have King Arthur, who is going to be rounding off the evening. He's an international reggae artist. What I'd like us to do now is take up the tithes and the offerings. When you came in earlier, you'd have been given a white envelope. You can give to God and just write your details. Is there anybody who needs a white envelope? Just raise your hands and the ushers will get one to you. Just keep them raised so the ushers can see who you are. And so you can give.